Well, good evening. It's good to be with you once again. Your presence is encouraging. We're here to study about the life of Jesus tonight, about the life of Christ. And I don't know a more rewarding study than the study of the life of Jesus. I'll say this before we cover our brief remarks about Jesus being the perfect example. But in Acts 4 and verse 13, the Sanhedrin were interviewing Peter and John. And one of the things they perceived, that they understood about Peter and John, is that these men had been with Jesus. And that's what I hope for all of us, that as we encounter individuals in our own lives, friends, family, loved ones, people we meet in society, that they can perceive, that they can understand by our words, by our actions, that we have spent time with Jesus. And so there isn't a greater study than the life of Jesus. We often sing the words of this hymn, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and to obey." We realize that Jesus was fully human, yes, fully divine as well, but fully human, and He walked and He lived on this earth as a man. And being in the form of a man, as Paul would say in Philippians 2, He had to be man's perfect example. And we understand that man has the obligation to obey God. Well, Jesus, as He walked this earth, had His heavenly Father in order to obey. And so Jesus didn't just teach about obedience. Jesus lived it. He lived it. The key text I want you to remember tonight, if you forget everything else, please remember the things I say, and I'm going to start and end my lesson with this key text, and that's Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. And it says, "Though He were a son, yet He learned obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him." Now, you read that passage and you might find it a little strange. I know when I was first hearing that passage as a younger preacher, and even years into my ministry, I thought that's strangely worded. And it's not a mistranslation. It says, though He were a son, yet He had to learn obedience. He had to learn obedience? That's odd. I thought Jesus was always obedience. He was. It says He had to be perfected, being made perfect. Well, I thought Jesus was always perfect. He is always perfect. So what could that mean? Well, I want you to keep that in the back of your mind. We're going to answer that as we conclude the lesson in just a few moments. But throughout Jesus' life, Jesus was obedient to the Heavenly Father. For instance, in John 8 and verse 29, Jesus said, "I always do those things that please Him." Jesus' entire existence here on this earth in human form was about doing the Father's will. For instance, in Hebrews 10 and verse 7, the Hebrews author quotes a passage and applies it to Jesus where he says, "I've come forth, as it is written in the book, to do your will, O God. I've been given a body to do that." And of course, that body ended up being the sacrifice. Now, we've covered some of this already in this gospel meeting, but you go through the life of Christ. Damien did a good job last night talking about the younger years of Jesus, when Jesus was 12 years old and His parents lost Him. And again, I can only imagine what that must have been like. But when they finally found Jesus, they found Him in the temple, and they said, "Do you not know?" Mary said to Jesus, "Do you not know your father and I have been desiring to find you? We've been frantically trying to find you." And Jesus' response in Luke 2 and verse 49, even at that young, tender age of 12 years old, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" So even at that age, Jesus understood that His mission, His goal on this earth, was to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Later on, when Jesus is about to begin His ministry at His baptism, remember, John tried to stop Jesus from being baptized, and he said to Jesus, "I have need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me?" What was Jesus' response? That He was on a mission to fulfill all righteousness. That's another way of saying He's there to do the Father's will. Matthew 3 and verse 15. What about his teaching, his ministry, all the things we've been studying this week when it comes to the teachings of Christ? Jesus said this about that in John 7 and verse 16, "My doctrine isn't mine, but his who sent me." And of course, we know the famous prayer in Gethsemane. In Luke 22 and verse 42, where Jesus said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And so we understand that Jesus did go to the cross. He had to go to the cross because it was the Father's will. You see, true obedience happens when you choose your will, the Father's will over your will. Sometimes they clash. I understand that Jesus is saying there in the garden, if there's any other way, if it's possible, let this cup pass. But he ended it by saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." You see, when our will clashes with the Father's will, we submit anyway. That's the example Jesus left behind. And so Jesus' entire life was summed up, or can be summed up, by obedience to God. I think of what he told the woman at the well. What he told his disciples in that instance when he ran into the woman at the well. If you remember, he was hungry. And his disciples were asking, has he eaten anything? Here it was in the middle of the day. And remember Jesus' response in John 4, verse 34? "My food, my meat, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." And so the point we want to take from this is that it was satisfying to Jesus to do the Father's will. Just as food satisfies the stomach and fulfills that desire, that hungry desire, we should have that same attitude, that it's our desire to do the Father's will as well. You know, I think about how people react today. You know, we've been talking about how some people don't prioritize God in their life. They don't seek the kingdom first. Obedience should not be an afterthought. It should be what's at the forefront of our mind. Think of obedience to God as an umbrella under which everything else resides, everything else in our life. And so we ought to ask, what's the Lord's will in this? If you remember James chapter 4 and verse 15, James talks about how we should say, if it's the Lord's will, I will go and do this or that. See, God takes priority in our life. He certainly did in Jesus' life. Now let's briefly ask the question, why did Jesus obey? Well, Jesus obeyed because his will was in harmony with the Father's will. But he actually said this in John 14 and verse 31. This is the last verse in John 14. He says, "But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise and let us go from here." And so he there says that what? His purpose was to obey the will of the Father, but he says, "I do it out of love." Why do we obey God today? Well, Jesus would actually tell his apostles here in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, what? You will keep my commandments." Now let's go back in our closing remarks to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Thinking about Jesus being the perfect example of obedience. Though he were a son, Jesus had the unique position to be that unique, that only beloved, only begotten son that John 3:16 talks about. But even though he was divine, he also had his humanity. And we've been pointing out he had to experience the whole range of what it meant to be a human. That's why the Bible says he had to be tempted in all points like as we are. Yet Hebrews would say in chapter 4, he was without sin. He went through hardships. Have you considered this, that Jesus, of all the people who have ever been born, could have chosen what situation he would have been born into? But he chose a life of extreme poverty and hardship and difficulty. And I believe that so he could experience the full idea of what it means to be a human. But it goes on to say he learned obedience. Were you wondering about that still? Why did Jesus have to learn obedience? Well, the idea of learn is used in two different ways. There's the idea of learning academically. That's the idea of ascertaining or understanding something, like in an academic sense. But there's also the idea of learning something experimentally. It's the idea of learning through experience. And so when we say Jesus learned obedience, he learned it by doing it, by experiencing it. A couple passages along these lines. Philippians 2 and verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to what? He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Romans 5:19. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. That's referring to Adam. So also by one man's obedience, Jesus Christ, many will be made righteous. Well, let's look at the passage again. And though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, he had to submit to the Father's will, even to the death of the cross, Paul would again say, Philippians 2:8. And being made perfect. Okay, now what about that one? I thought you said Jesus was always perfect. There was never a time in which he wasn't perfect. What does it mean when it says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation? Now, perfect can mean flawless, and Jesus certainly was flawless. But perfect can also mean to lack nothing, to have everything that is needed, to be fully equipped, to be complete. And so if Jesus is perfected in the sense that he became the author of eternal salvation, it means that Jesus had to fully be qualified in order to be God's sacrifice, that perfect Lamb of God, John 1:29. And one of those qualifications, One of those qualifications was to go through the temptations that he went through and yet to be without sin. But another one of those qualifications is to go to the cross, to submit to the Father's will in going to the cross. See, Jesus was tested in Gethsemane. That was a temptation for him. But he came out and he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And because he did that, the Bible says he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus' obedience brought about our salvation. When it says he's the author, he's the source of salvation. At last, it says he became the author of what? Eternal salvation. He is the source of salvation that lasts forever and ever and ever. He's the trailblazer. He's the one who opened up. Just as the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom and it opened up the way into the most holy place, Jesus did that when he died on the cross by opening our way up into heaven to the very throne room of God. But notice the last part of Hebrews 5 and verse 9. He became the author of salvation to all them that obey him. Jesus' obedience brought about our salvation, but we also have to obey. We also have to obey his commands, what he said, in order to have that salvation. You see, salvation is available to all, but it's also conditional. You see, Jesus might have had all the power. He walked on water, he healed people, he raised the dead, yet he still had to obey God like every other human being had to obey God. Many people today only like to obey until it gets difficult. Just to reference it, Matthew chapter 13, 20 through 21, there Jesus explains the parable of the sower, and he talks about the seed that fell among the stony ground. And it springs up real fast, but when the heat hits the seed or hits the plant, it shrivels up and dies. Now, Jesus made the application in verses 20 and 21. He says that's talking about persecution. It's talking about when things get difficult, when the Christian life brings about those difficulties. You see, some people only like to obey until it gets difficult, but Jesus obeyed even when it was difficult, even when it did hurt. And of course, you and I have to have that same level of dedication, saying, "Not my will, but thine be done." You're not only obedient, we shouldn't only be obedient when we agree with God, but we should also be obedient when we struggle with that agreement. We should also be obedient when we don't necessarily like what God says. Because it's not about if we agree or don't agree. It's about whether or not we submit to His will. And so I'll leave you with this. Just as Jesus prayed in the garden, "Not my will, but thine be done," that should be our prayer daily. And so let's make sure we keep that as the forefront thing in our minds.